And we're back. It's the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto. And I'm your host, Phil Taylor. I think we have on the line David Jacobs, Toronto lawyer. Are you there, David?
I am. Good morning.
Thank you very much for joining us. And congratulations. You've been awarded the Victoire Ingabire Prize, which is given out by Women for Peace and Democracy, based in Belgium. A wonderful group. And maybe you could explain who Victoire Ingabire is and why this prize is so important, actually.
Well, Victoire Ingabire Omahosa, to give her full name if I'm pronouncing it correctly, is a democratic leader of a democratic party in Rwanda. And she returned to Rwanda some time back to contest elections on a platform of peace and democracy and of not demonizing one side in the killings in 1994 and apportioning responsibility to all parties that committed atrocities. For her commitment to peace and democracy and her attempt to run against the sitting president slash dictator of Rwanda, Paul Kagame, she was imprisoned. And she was imprisoned in inhumane conditions for 8 years, five of them in solitary confinement, being banned from running for election and being confined to house imprisonment after she left. She had not seen her children or the rest of her family who were in Europe for an awful long time. She's still under restriction. She can't leave the country, but she is able to at least move around and meet people in the way she wasn't before. But she has a strong network of supporters all over the world. Really primary among them is a support group called the International Women's Network for Democracy and Peace, which is based in a number of places, including in Canada, in Holland, France, and Belgium. So it is a women's movement. It does identify women's issues in the struggles in Rwanda and the Great Lakes neighborhood, and is emphasizing to a great extent right now the carnage in Congo, and also emphasizing the role of sexual violence committed by Rwandan forces against the people of Congo, civilian forces, civilian people. And they're having some successes, at least in terms of their international international efforts on behalf of the people of Congo and the people of Rwanda who remain suffering.
This is David Jacobs, who represented clients at the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda. He's also practiced international law. He's been at The Hague. I know that. Well, let's talk about your speech. But what kind of gathering was it? Give us a description, and also what you had to tell them.
Well, I have to say it was a wonderful gathering, and I'm going to have to quote my wife. She said to me, "You have to say this. It's an exceptionally vibrant community." So we're speaking to a community of mostly, but not all, Rwandan exiles. Rwandan refugees who generally live in Europe. My impression was that most of the people we were talking to, they were people who lived in Belgium. And they were, I would have to say, the most kind and considerate people, all quite accomplished. I got a ride from our hotel to one of the events by a man who chairs the foundation, which is associated with the International Women's Network for Democracy and Peace. I think it's called the Foundation for Democracy and Peace. And was a most interesting man. He was there just to give me a ride for 3/4 of an hour to a nice luncheon. He was an economics professor. And the other thing that I noted about the people, particularly we had the privilege privilege of meeting the night before the event with what they call the jury, essentially the board of directors of the Women's Network, you know, from all over the world, France, Holland, Canada, etc. How poised they were given their experience. I mean, another person who drove us from the event to our hotel we spoke to her about where you're from. I'm from Kigali. Did you always live in Kigali? No, I lived in Congo. What made you move from Congo to Kigali? Well, it wasn't by my choice. It was at the point of a gun. And you start to realize the horrendous things these people have been through.
Well, just underline, a forced return, which, by the way, isn't that in violation of the UN practices? And when someone is has fled a country, you cannot force them, forcibly return them?
That's 100% right. And I don't know how many of these people have refugee status in Belgium. My assumption is a lot of them, but they have been through horrific things, or their parents have been through horrific things. Some of them were victims of the, and I say that word deliberately, the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda, which, as I said in my speech, quoting Ramsey Clark, a former U.S. Attorney General under Lyndon Johnson, author of Laws Against Racial Segregation in the United States, who's unfortunately deceased now, but one of the greatest legal minds I've ever encountered. He said that the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda was essentially war by other means, meaning it was victor's justice for the Kagame regime, but it was a continuation of the war against people opposing his dictatorship. And that's exemplified in the treatment of Ms. Ingabire. It's exemplified in the treatment of the Rwandan diaspora who lives in Europe and other places, who are continuously under threat. And Charles Onana, who had previously received the self-same award that I received, was literally tried and convicted in France late last year for writing a book. The book was about the French operation in Rwanda called Operation Turquoise.
Yes.
And he was convicted of minimizing the genocide.
That's Mr. Onana.
He's appealing.
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Onana. Yeah. And I think he was on the same platform and had a prize with yourself some years ago.
I did meet him at that time, yes.
Yeah. He showed us a nice montage of previous prize winners who they call in French laureates, which sounds a lot grander, actually.
Yes. Well, you mentioned that he was arrested for writing a book in the United States. And indeed, it happened in Canada that when members of the Rwandan diaspora criticized or spoke out, got themselves published, articles and interviews, they have been arrested. There's a man now on trial, or due to be on trial in New England, I believe. And in Canada, we've had people who were professors or academics and who said critical things, and the Canadian government and U.S. governments cooperated with the Kigali regime, with whom now they admit they have some problems. But they were cooperating, as far as I know, that basically the cooperation goes on despite the problems.
Yeah, I mean, it was a point I tried to make in my speech when I was talking about how I came to understand the history of Rwanda. One part of the history, of course, is that after Ugandan forces invaded Rwanda in 1990, became under the leadership of Paul Kagame, who is now the president of Rwanda, international community, including Canada, pressed the existing government, which was under siege and war from the Rwandan Patriotic Front, led by Kagame, pressed them to enter into this Arusha Accords, have multi-party democracy and other things, which the government there agreed to. But the end of the fighting in 1994 the mass killings wasn't that the Arusha Accords now came into bloom. They were effectively destroyed. No one talks about the Arusha Accords, which would have led to a form of multi-party democracy and peace in Rwanda. But our government, notwithstanding pushing for it and pushing a government at war into sharing power with the parties it was essentially warring with, we're now silent about the Arusha Accords, and they've been thrown by our government, the American government, and clearly the Rwandan government, into the trash bin of history, even though they would have led to a democratic and peaceful situation in Rwanda. One thing, I said this in my speech, that the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda did not do. It has not led to democracy and peace in Rwanda. It has not led to peace and reconciliation, as is obvious. The situation remains exceptionally dangerous, including the situation in the entire Great Lakes region with the invasion of Congo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a treachery of Canada, the U.S., U.K., France, that we really ought to be noting, as you point out. I mean, they were satisfied to wash their hands of the responsibility that they undertook. They were the ones advocating a multi-party democracy and insisting on it and calling Habyarimana names for not doing it as quickly as they wanted. Then he is murdered, and a partisan army takes power. And Victoire Ingabire is living proof that there's no democracy because they won't even allow her to register her party.
Yeah, I mean, it was another point that I tried to make as well, that here you have an International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda, which prides itself on saying it's, and this is a way to peace and reconciliation. But the one thing they do not look at, they refuse to look at, and they refused to look at, was the assassination of the leader of the country, Habyarimana, together with the assassination at the same time, the same plane that was shot down, of the leader of Burundi, the chief of staff of the army, and obviously some French pilots who were piloting the plane. Not only has no one been convicted of that international war crime, but which everyone agrees triggered the chaos and bloodshed in 1994, but no one's even been challenged, and the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda was supremely uninterested in it, and as one of the prosecutors famously said during the trial there, well, we don't investigate plane crashes, which is astonishing, because, I mean, more or less everyone who's investigated this has come to the conclusion that Paul Kagame was responsible for the his regime, armed forces at that time, were responsible for the shooting down the plane. And I would just get back to the vibrancy comment, if I can segue there. Mm-hmm. It just was remarkable how resilient this community is. I mean, you asked me a bit about the event, and I didn't sort of finish my comments, but there were 200 people who had come. They spent a lot of money, and they'd come quite a distance, actually, because the event was held at a place called Merchem, which is about a 40-minute drive outside of Brussels. Mm-hmm. People came at around 5 in the afternoon and left at 3 o'clock the following morning after speeches, dinner, wine and champagne, dancing.
That's a healthy community.
A very healthy community, and a very wonderful community, too. I was humbled. I can say that. Mm-hmm. I think without. I hope it doesn't sound egotistical, but I was by their embrace of me and my wife who came with me by the generosity that they showed us, both actual generosity, just generosity of spirit, and how kind and so on they were. Before you learn, as I said before, the kind of horrific violence that they'd all been subjected to, or their members of their family been subject to, or they all knew people who died, and some of them, in my view, died having been wrongfully convicted in a jail somewhere in Africa where they shouldn't have been.
They really do have an unbreakable spirit. Is it Didn't you tell me that the son of Victoria Ingabire did some rapping?
Oh, yes. His son is a rap musician. You can actually see it on YouTube or the internet. He said he has an album out and so on. And his music was quite, I would say, joyful. People got up and danced to it, and he sang two or three short songs. It was very impressive.
And you spoke to Victoria herself.
Well, that was a surprise. She gave a videotaped
message
to the gathering. But the next day, when we went for lunch with the organizers, somebody simply handed me an iPhone. And there she was, FaceTime on the iPhone, speaking to me. And I'm trying to speak in my best French. And they said, no, she speaks English. So I was able to commend her on her courage and tell her how inspiring she was, and that I had confidence in the future of democracy and peace in Rwanda under her leadership and such. But it was
a surprising
moment.
What a great event! And
it was.
David Jacobs, we're very grateful you gave us the time. That's a terrific story. I'm glad you got that award. And thank you very, very much.
Thank you. It was a tremendous honor. And thank you for having me on your show.
Sure thing. Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto. Steve Fruitman is coming up, 33, 45, 78.